Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is Hagman. Welcome to Hagman. This is Hagman Report for today. It's Monday, August 29th. 2022. You know, if you don't, if you're not paying attention right now, chances are you could, an asteroid could go by you in terms of news value and you not even be aware of it. This weekend, I spent a lot of time this weekend talking with different people about different subjects, all relevant to what we're doing, all relevant to you, all relevant to me. All relevant to our survival. Here's the deal in a nutshell. And you know this, right? I mean, you've got to know this. Number one, the current regime considers you, and I mean everyone listening, watching, or even accidentally finding this broadcast, an enemy. Think about that for a second. And it's just not this current regime on a domestic U.S. level. It's global. It's number one. Number two, Michael Hayden came out on a Twitter thing. Twitter, by the way, is garbage. Twitter, social media is garbage. If you get your news from social media, it's garbage. Now, that said, I do have a presence on Truth Social. I've got a presence on Getter. I wouldn't touch. I've got a moldy, oldie Twitter feed for the show. It's old. There's a reason for that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But Hayden, on a recent tweet, wants us all to be shipped to Afghanistan. You heard me. Anyone who adheres to American exceptionalism wants us shipped to Afghanistan. Now, he's one of the 50 piece of shit monster maggots from our intelligence community. Can you tell I'm not in a good mood today? He's one of the maggots from our intelligence community. Who think that we're somehow seditious when we don't bow our knee at the altar of Marxist, communist, godless, Moloch worship, Baal worshiping bastards, child sacrificing, blood drinking, perverted sex, transgender chopping off body parts. If we don't go along with that, you know, we're not. We're enemies. If you don't think this is coming to you, if you don't think you're going to knock on the door, oh, maybe a friendly knock first. Perhaps a friendly knock first. Let's knock and talk. You will. And then what comes next is you're not going to like it, because just ask the political prisoners still in the gulag and DC gulags. And by the way, why in the hell haven't we done anything about that? I'm just asking, why haven't we done anything about that? Now, I want to thank, I have not answered. There are a couple of attorneys who actually sent me emails, Christian attorneys. And I want to thank you for sending me those emails. But you know, as a society, as a Christian conservative society, we haven't done enough. We're not doing enough. And you know, people may say, well, this is like a call to arms. No, it's not. It's a call to law and order. Apply the law equally. Apply the law equally. You don't bust in the safe. You don't bust in the domicile of a former president and a future political rival and think that this is okay with a very, very thin pretext or precedent. I'm not predicate. I'm sorry, not precedent, predicate. Meanwhile, you got Mr. Magoo out there, Mr. Potato Head. Can't even find his, you know, where he's supposed to stand. His wife's got to actually maneuver him into position. I don't know how many people saw that when he got off of Air Force One or Marine One. I'm not sure which, but he just didn't know what to do. He was walking around. And if you think that's okay, if you're looking the other way, then shame on you. In fact, not only that, piss off, because I don't have time for you. And if, again, I'm not in a very happy mood today, so forgive me if I sound offensive, because I fully intend to be offensive. Sharon Brewer was laid to rest on Friday. A very tragic, sudden, unexpected death of Austin's mother, Ted's wife. I could not be there. Let's show a picture of the church, or of the, if we can, show a picture of the, where the celebration of life was held. This is not the funeral home. This was where the service was held. And flowers from all over the world. Cleaned out Central Florida, by the way, just so you know, of roses and daisies. And I looked at that and I was thinking about that, because our lives can change and do change in an instant, don't they? You might wake up, make plans for today, and be gone by tonight. By the way, Ted and Austin and the entire family, Brewer family, I want to thank all you, the listeners and the viewers. Sharon was on with me and had a great talk with her on in beginning of May and subsequent to that, of course. But you just never know. We're losing a lot of good people. Russ last year. I mean, so many I can't even name the people to different causes, reasons, and I think God is moving his soldiers here and there. But I want you to think about this. If you're living in the United States, you were born with a leg up, in my view. You were also born with the responsibility to keep the United States. It's kind of like renting a house, in my view. And then I got to get a couple of guests coming on here. Hang on. Just let me clear this out. Otherwise, it's going to build up, and then I'm going to go over and kick Eric's desk, and he's going to yell at me, and then all hell's going to break loose. So, when we were born in this country, we were given a gift of freedom. I mean, I understand our rights, our freedoms come from God Almighty. I get that. But can you say the same if you're born in Iran right now? Yeah, they come from God, but we got a little problem here. We've allowed, and I mean this, we've allowed these maggots to take over our country. These blue-haired, tattooed, body-pierced pieces of crap to go out there and protest and break things and hurt elderly people. We've allowed George Soros money to put in Democratic DAs, leftist, no, communist. I'm not even going to say Democrat anymore. Communist district attorneys and even communist prosecutors. And you will have to excuse me. I do have, by the way, this is kind of an announcement. I'm not sure when my surgery will be, but I have I have to have that bone graft repaired, which has this sinus to mouth opening that's kind of closed, but not really. So I have to have an operation. So I'm going to be off for probably a week, just to let you know. I don't know what I'm going to do about that. Hopefully we can get some things in the can and get them out to you. which makes my nose run, which really irritates me. That's another thing that irritates me. But we, it's like I said, like I was saying, it's like when you run a house, you, hopefully you have enough self-respect and pride in yourself that when you leave that house, it is, you leave it in better, in a better shape than when you arrived, as good as, or better than when you arrived. We've lost our self-respect. We've lost, in my view, we've lost our way in what we need to do. We've allowed these people, again, these maggots to overtake us. We're like, okay, no problem. You know, okay, yeah. And the only thing we can do is complain about this bitch and complain about this. We've put our faith in men when we can't do that. Now, we can have faith in men. We just cannot place all of our faith in men. God is the answer to this. All right. I wanted to get that off my chest because Ashley Babbitt's mother was outside of D.C. jail. Who's talking about her? The first death of the Revolutionary War II or Civil War II or a combination of both. Who's talking about Ashley Babbitt? Who's talking about the political prisoners in D.C.? Who's talking about the people who are disallowed business transactions because of their political biases and ideologies? Who's talking about these? Who's standing up for these people? If not us, who? And if not now, then when? To paraphrase. You've got an out-of-control, unselect Jan 6 committee with their lies and damned lies and contempt for the American people. You've got a media that's working just totally on behalf of communists. You've got all of this. And here we sit. I'm done talking. I don't know about you, but I'm done talking. I've got a very heavy heart. I've seen people with the best of intent just get slammed by a government that's out of control. We shouldn't be doing that. We should not allow that. People say, well, I don't like Alex Jones because he's this, he's that. I don't give a damn if you like him or not, but I'll tell you what, if you're not fighting for his right to talk, right for free speech, and if you're not supporting him, then you're not in the fight. So all things survival, because we're going to be fixing on trying to survive what's coming, and what's coming is not good. So with me, I have Sam Andrews, Freedom Center, or freedomtrain.net, freedomtrain.net, hagmanreport.com/training. I got Sam Andrews with me. John Moore is going to join me as usual on Sunday, and we're going to talk. We're going to do some talking. So to the FBI and the three-letter agencies, get your tapes going. Media Matters, get your tapes going. Get your transcriptions going. Lefties, get your earbuds in. Sam Andrews, how are you, sir?
Doing great, Doug. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. So there's my opening statement. Deal with it. I'm kidding. I have a very heavy heart today for a lot of reasons, specifically the fact that we are allowing our country to be taken over by a bunch of communists and we're not doing enough about it. And frankly, I think we're wimping out. You know, there are so many more of us than there are of them. Are there not?
Yes, sir. Let's take a quick look at the math. Pre-Sandy Hook, we had about 77 million gun owners in the United States of America, by far, by 20x, the largest standing army in the world, the most powerful force that's ever existed on Earth other than God and his angels. And since then, those numbers have grown. Almost 2 million per month since Biden's been in office. We now have over 130 million armed Americans inside the continental United States of America.
Almost as many illegal aliens as he's allowed in the country. Go ahead.
Well, we actually have more gun owners than we have illegal aliens.
Makes it easier. I'm just saying. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did we get here? I mean, as a strategic planner, you know, my my initial inclination is to study the problem and study how we got here. Well, we could go back to the Federal Reserve in 1913. We could go back to the financial takeover. We could go back to the Dick Act. We could go as far back as the end of the Civil War and the abolishment of the militia and the taking of power, the usurping of power from the American citizen, from the state citizens, and then giving it to police and federal agencies. One particular federal agency, the FBI, most people don't know the history of. What does scripture say? My people perish for their lack of knowledge.
I know, but do tell. I think this is important.
We're perishing right now. We're being killed in a covert war. And if you want to know more about the enemy, which I think is very important to understand the enemy, start here. This is a book called War Without Rules. You mentioned a corrupt Air Force general. Here's a Brigadier Air Force General, Robert Spalding, who's telling the truth about the enemy and what the plans are and how they're implementing their war. We are at war right now. We don't recognize that we're at war as a general population because of ignorance, because of our lack of knowledge. We need knowledge. We need wisdom. And that book is a good place to start. It's a very good place to start to understand who the enemy is and what they're trying to do here in the United States and what they're going to do to you, your business, your children, and your grandchildren. And it's not good. Tyranny has made a paradigm shift on planet Earth in the last few decades. For 6,000 years plus, tyrants have wanted to enslave populations and use their slave labor to enrich themselves. We're past that now. We've made a paradigm shift, and what's happening right now is the tyrants of the world want you, your children, and your grandchildren off their planet. This is what they want. You need to understand this. They're not trying to enslave your children. They're trying to kill you and remove you from the planet. Start by reading War Without Rules. Understand one of the large motivating factors in this global war. It's important that you understand this. It's important that you understand who opposes God. You hear references all the time about the Antichrist. Well, quite simply, the Antichrist are those that oppose God's purpose for this planet. This is God's rock. He spun it around my favorite star that he made. And his goal for this planet was to populate the planet with his human creation. Those that are for depopulation, there's two groups that are the Antichrist that work for Satan. There are those that openly oppose God and are self-proclaimed Satan worshipers, Satanists. And there are those that work for Satan in his covert war, and they're called atheists. Both of these factions are in control of the globalist movement to depopulate the planet, which is opposite of God's intention for this planet. Okay, and we are not standing up. You are 100% correct. We are not standing up. And so the question is why? And the simple answer is false belief systems. We have so many false belief systems in the Christian community, or what I call the churchian community. Actually, the disciples of Christ get this. The people that are true disciples of Christ understand the war that we're in. It's the churchians, the people that go to church that are hypnotized, anesthetized, and neutralized. These are the people that are not standing up. And so, without getting into a long diatribe of turn the other cheek and let people abuse you, I want to make an appeal to people who go to church and claim that the Bible is their source of truth. And I want to read you a couple of verses. And I'm going to start in Revelation, because we need to have a foundation. If you say you need to stand up and you're appealing to Christian people, you need to have a foundation on why. Why is it moral to stand up? And I'm going to explain this to you in no uncertain terms. From a scriptural perspective, if we go to Revelation chapter 21, and we talk about the lake of fire, you see in 21 verse 8, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Notice that the cowardly are in the same group as the unbelieving, the murderers, the abominable, and the immoral persons. In other words, it is just as immoral to be a coward as it is to be a murderer. You will wind up with the same exact punishment, which is what? The lake of fire, the second death. In other words, total annihilation. So is it acceptable as an American Christian to not stand up? Well, you may ask, before I answer that question, what are we standing against? Okay, so I want to be very clear about this. What are we standing against from a biblical perspective? And to find that answer, we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And I'll read from the New American Standard English translation. I would welcome you to read this in the original Greek if you're capable. But let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. So, if you are cowardly and you are not willing to stand and you are willing to be subject again to a yoke of slavery, do not under any circumstances call yourself a disciple of Christ. This would be wholly unacceptable and dishonest. So if you have this false belief system that you can go to church twice a week or three times a week and be part of a prayer warrior chain or a prayer chain in your group and do nothing else, you will be part of slavery. You will have a yoke of slavery placed upon you in contrary to what Christ intended when he set us free.
Let me just stop you right there. I agree with you, except there are people who are physically, bad off physically. That's yes. All they can do.
No, I disagree. And I'll tell you why. Okay. Those that are in wheelchairs, those that are, that pray because they're physically limited, that's perfectly fine. But there are three elements to every conflict. And if you understand the art of war, you understand that there is a direct action element. Those are the guys that are physically capable that go out and do the physical fighting. Then there is the intelligence gathering communication function that people that pray and can possibly have enough physical capability to operate a keyboard or a cell phone or some other communication device, they can work on the intel side or the communication side. And then there's a third element, the logistical element or the financial element that fund the people that are doing battle, doing the communicating and doing the physical fighting. So is it enough to pray? It helps. So please don't call me and tell me I'm anti-prayer. I'm not. We should be praying unceasingly throughout the day while we are actively working. to the
extent,
Nile.
And yes, I agree, to the extent they're capable of.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah, right.
Yes, I'm not trying to exclude a group of people, but keep in mind the people that are physically incapable, that have these extremely difficult physical challenges, they are the exception to the rule.
Exactly. Well, no, and yeah, but I talked to one on Saturday. I talked to one, but that person also uses his time to. He's actually paralyzed. He uses his time to send the whole boatload of research stuff that's important to me.
Awesome
to
stuff.
Me. So
yes. He's actively engaged.
Yes, correct. So folks, just clarification. Okay, go ahead.
Continue. Yeah, I think it's important that each individual that doesn't want to be part of the cowardly and suffer the second death, the lake of fire, I think it's very important that they choose one of these three elements, either an intelligence gathering or communication element, either the financial logistical element or the direct action element. And you will know as a disciple of Christ where your talents lie and which one of those three categories you should be actively working in. And I think it's important that when we say we're going to engage, we're going to stand firm against a yoke of slavery, we're not going to allow it, that we identify, we understand the fundamental building blocks of conflict and how battles are won, and we pick the area where our talents lie.
Correct.
So if you're young and physically strong and healthy, and you've got good eyesight and good hearing and good athletic ability and good reflexes, you're probably a direct action guy.
Lock and load.
If you have lots of money, then you should be funding the direct action guys.
Amen to that.
If you're not physically capable, if your gifts are in communication and intelligence gathering, then that's absolutely where you should be applying your talents and your efforts.
But are people not looking for what I get? People are looking for direction, leadership. And look, I mean, I'm just saying, okay, a lot of people don't know what to do. I mean, they'll do that again, like the shaman.
Sure.
He spends as much time, I think, as I do in research and intelligence gathering. But beyond that, they're okay, now what do we do? What can I do? People are saying, what can we do? What about the jailed gulag prisoners, the political prisoners?
Let's talk about what not to do. Okay.
All right.
What you don't do is you don't stand against tyranny alone, unarmed, with no teeth.
I agree.
That's why the Second Amendment exists. Do not be the guy in Tiananmen Square, right? He stood against the Communist Party out in the open in Tiananmen Square, and in a matter of seconds, he became grease in the tank treads of a Chinese armored vehicle.
And many people don't know that, but go ahead.
That's an utter failure in my regard. It's not our job to die for the cause. Christ set us free to live free for the cause, which is the building of the kingdom, the abolishment of sin and death, and the restoration of our relationship with the Father. Okay, and I'm speaking specifically of our Father in heaven. Okay, and so what are we fighting for? Is there a biblical perspective to stand firm and to oppose evil? There absolutely is. And if scripture's not enough for you, there's a great book called Ethics, written by a great man called Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German man who actually stood against Adolf Hitler. If the scripture isn't enough motivation for you, get the book Ethics and read it. And if you don't believe that we're in a covert war right now, as I say these words, read this book. It will change you from the inside out. You will understand how COVID was used, how all these other corporate espionage, political buy-offs and payoffs, and how we got to where the Chinese-sponsored Democratic Party of the United States is involved in a takeover, the destruction of the middle class, and the utter destruction of your God-given rights. We are in a war right now. Just because you don't see a lot of shooting, you know, you brought up Ashley Babbitt. I spoke to her before she was killed on January 6th. She was an awesome, courageous woman. I wish more women were like her, honestly. I wish more men had half the courage that Ashley Babbitt had. If the men in this country had half of the courage Ashley Babbitt had, we would not be in the situation we're in right now. So, but understanding the foundation of why, you know, a lot of people talk about the Bill of Rights, which is basically a limit on government. It's not really a limit on your rights. It doesn't define your rights. The rights are God-given. What the Constitution does is limit the government's power to erode your rights. Okay, that's being ignored today. We all know it. We have fraudulent elections. We're not even allowed to pick our candidate for president anymore. The FBI is going to pick that candidate for us, right? But if we want to talk about the FBI and the raid on Mar-a-Lago, let's tell the truth. The same group inside the FBI, okay, the intelligence counter-espionage division of the FBI is the same group that put on this raid of Mar-a-Lago. And the reason they did it wasn't because of classified documents. It was because Trump had evidence and proof of Crossfire Hurricane that would have convicted that same group that was involved in Crossfire Hurricane, which was the Russiagate scandal and all the lies and all of the Change 302s and all the other garbage. That's what they really wanted.
And if they he still has that, just not in one place. He's not.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
Yeah, he's not stupid. Go ahead.
But yeah, and so what do we do? First, we have to understand we're at war. Then we have to understand our enemy and the techniques that they're using against us. And then we have to pick. We have to look at ourselves, look in the mirror, and understand, where do I fit in? Where do my talents lie? Do they lie in logistics? Can I be a John Hancock and fund direct action people? Can I fund communications and intelligence gathering because I'm not physically able to do direct action? Is my talent in the financial side, the logistical side? Or is my talent in intelligence gathering and communication? Is my talent in training? Is my talent in direct action? Where do I fit in? And asking yourself that question and preparing for your role is what every American should be doing right now. But that's only going to happen when you believe need. So the fundamentals of persuasive speech are need, plan, advantages. All effective persuasion starts with these three fundamentals. And most persuasion fails because people don't understand the need. Understanding the need is very, very important. It's absolutely critical that you understand why you need to get involved. And one of the reasons is God expects you to not be a coward. But from a more practical perspective, your children and grandchildren are going to be wiped off the planet if you do nothing. They're going to be tormented, murdered, abused, and destroyed. And if you're not willing to stand for your children and grandchildren, what are you willing to stand for?
Very well stated. And if you want to know why Sam Andrews is, if you want to know where we, well, who's Sam Andrews, you can listen to Sam Andrews. And I'm going to bring John Moore on right now. TheLibertyMan.com every Monday, John Moore, who's got just a fantastic radio show. 3 hours long every Monday, Sam Andrews and John Moore sharpen iron together in their conversations. And, folks, thelibertyman.com. Today is Monday. Sam, I believe, was with, it's just been one of those days. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm gonna say that Sam was with John today, in the radio show. So go to thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com, and make sure you listen to today's episode as well. And dig down, drill down through the first page on the Liberty Man, through the radio. And you'll see where Sam appears every Monday and other guests as well. So I'm going to bring John on right now. And let's have a conversation about, in fact, if John has any comment on what he, hopefully he heard this and if he has anything to add. And then I want to see you two interact a little bit because I want to kind of, I don't want to reenact your show, but I do want, John, I do want the interplay between you and Sam, because I think it's so valuable. When I listen to you and Sam, I think that's so valuable. So John Moore, the Liberty Man. John, how are you, sir? Are you there?
Good to be here. And Sam, welcome aboard, sir.
There we go.
Hi, John.
Hey.
So John, everything that Sam said is true. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, and you and I speak about this, perhaps not as succinctly as what I just heard. I mean, that's not a pejorative. That's just kind of an observation. We talk about the bigger picture, but he, you know, struck right at the heart of the matter. And I think that this is where we're at today. Because if you know what, if we don't do something right now, folks, just bend over, kiss your backside goodbye. Because if we don't do something right now, we are, in my view anyway, we are not only remiss, we are sending our offspring to their deaths, and we are not doing our job. So John, come on board, and Sam, come on board, and let's chat. Go ahead, John. I'm gonna kick it over to you.
I'm a firm believer in Plan A, Plan B, and Plan C. When it comes to the issues facing us, my personal plan is to win at the ballot box. We have midterms coming up in about 70 days or so. And I have hope that there'll be enough removal of vote fraud that we can have conservative Christians take control of the House of Representatives, possibly the Senate, that's kind of a toss-up, and begin turning this ship of state around. That's Plan A. Plan B is to be trained up, equipped up, and ready to deal with what might be coming, which could be the Communist Chinese. It could be the Internal Revenue Service arming up 87,000 new agents, which is something that Obama mentioned when he was running for president. He wanted a force equal to or greater than the U.S. military. And we've wondered for quite a few years, what in the world was this man talking about? This may very well be it. This is the equivalent of about 80 brigades. I think it's brigades. I never did get these Marine Corps things straight. But it would be a lot of armed troops, to say the least, armed up and trained up by the Internal Revenue Service to become a force to be dealt with. Plan C, of course, would, you know, there's no of course about it, but Plan C is to do what we can to protect ourselves and our loved ones in a worst case scenario, which there's a number of worst case scenarios, a complete collapse of the economy, a grid down situation put forth by the Communist Chinese, a number of situations that could be a worst case scenario where we're struggling just to feed ourselves and get a drink of clean water. So like I said a moment ago, I'm a big proponent of Plan A, which I have some hope of success. There's no guarantees, of course. And I agree with Sam that this is a spiritual war. And I learned as a very young man at age of 20 that most men will not stand up and do the right thing when it comes to saying things in public that they know to be true. This, of course, came out of my experience in Vietnam, where men put their careers, their paycheck, their pension, and their families' financial wherewithal ahead of saying the right thing. That was not unique to Vietnam or the Tet Offensive or what happened there. That's pretty much an expected human behavior. We've had probably dozens of FBI agents who were patriots. I remember a woman, I believe in Wisconsin, who a field agent, she reported a Muslim man only wanting to take flying lessons to take off the plane, not to land the plane. She thought this might be important. She reported up the chain of command. Nothing was done about it. Not a thing. So the chain of command and the FBI dropped the ball. And I'm sure she was not the only one. There was other hardworking, honest, patriotic FBI agents who made similar reports around the country of bizarre behavior of Muslims in this country that nothing was done about. So once again, I'm active politically myself. I am the Republican committeeman from my township. I attend the committee meetings. We do what we can to make sure that we have some patriotic conservative Christians to support at the county level. And something all three of us need to remember, the most important, the most powerful elected official, assuming they're elected, is the elected county sheriff. Many sheriffs are no longer elected. They're appointed. They no longer enjoy the traditional power that an elected county sheriff has. We've got, I think, two or three of them in this state of Missouri. I'm sure there's others in other jurisdictions where the powers that be are very fearful of elected county sheriffs who understand and are willing to use the traditional power they've got. The sheriff down in Waco, Texas, could have told the FBI and the ATF to leave the county. He had that power. The sheriff up at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, had the power to remove all federal forces from his county, but neither one did it, leading to the tragedies that we've seen in both those places. So that'll be my opening statement.
Sam, go ahead.
Okay, so a lot of people like to talk about problems.
Yes.
Corrupt FBI, corrupt government, Mitch McConnell in bed with the Chinese, the Democrats in bed with the Chinese, Mitt Romney and his corruption in Ukraine, along with the Bidens and everybody else. We could talk about problems until our grandchildren die of old age.
That's
nothing
right.
will change.
Yep.
Okay. What we need are solutions, real, legitimate solutions. For example, what is the answer to having 87,000 IRS agents? Well, it's the abolishment of the tax system and the establishment of a national sales tax system that no longer requires an army to enforce. The money is passively collected. Now, there are many nations throughout this world that have a national sales tax. They don't need an IRS army. Why do Republicans and Democrats want an IRS army? Why do they want this tax system? Because if you can stratify the tax system, you can raise taxes on one group, not raise it on the others, and the majority of people don't object. And then a year later, you can raise it on a different group and not raise it on the other groups, and nobody objects. Once again, nobody stands up for anyone other than themselves, and they use this and leverage the people to constantly hike the tax rate. But more importantly, they use the IRS army to harass their political opponents. It's the same reason the FBI was instituted. The FBI was formed to harass, disrupt, and destroy people that opposed our involvement in World War I. Now, this isn't something that Sam says. There are some congressmen and senators that have said this very same thing on video. Verify this.
Yep.
This is why the FBI was created. The FBI has a history of corruption from the very beginning, a history of violating people's First Amendment rights and rights to due process from the very beginning. The IRS did the same thing. Lois Lerner got caught. One of the few that got caught red-handed, but every IRS agent from the beginning of time has worked for a cabal to suppress political opponents. That's why we need to abolish them, but replace them with something. If you have a national sales tax system and you don't allow clothing, food, medicine, and these other things to be taxed, all of a sudden poor people don't have to pay taxes. And they can afford more of the necessities that they need. But the Democratic Party doesn't want that. They want the army to harass their political opponents so they can continue to grab power.
Yes.
Well, Sam, I got something else to throw in the mix here. I know you've driven past the intersection of Tyson, Antar Road and Interstate 44 probably many hundreds of times in your lifetime. The Tyson Research Center is there. I was having with some World War II guys about 25 years ago. They were still very sharp guys mentally. And one of these guys said that location or the Tyson Research, is going to be the regional headquarters for the new national police. That was 25 years ago. And I've been wondering, and I work with my friend Charles Shaw. I know you knew Mr. Shaw, another World War II vet. We did aerial reconnaissance and took aerial photographs of that area to determine what they were doing, which was, and for those who don't know, the U.S. government bought about 1,000 acres in World War II to set up a place to test and store ammunition. That's what this place became. And for many decades, Washington University used it for biological research. Left behind were several dozen, I don't know how many, but several dozen concrete bunkers to store ammunition in. Well, they built new buildings there above ground, and I interviewed a AT&T technician who said he was part of a team installing a T1 drop there, which is 500 phone lines. So this may be the answer. What will the National Police Force be? Perhaps it's this 87,000 new IRS agents. Perhaps they may be the new National Police Force. And ladies and gentlemen, it's coming to a neighborhood near you. Metro St. Louis is just one of many regions, and probably each federal region, what is there, 9 or 10 of them, whatever there are, is, will get its own national police headquarters. What do you think, Sam?
Well, I think people aren't recognizing the pretense that they're being sold in the national news media. For example, they raid Trump for classified documents. No, they raided Trump's facility to get evidence that was about to be used against them in the Durham investigation. Same thing with the IRS agents. The pretense is we're going to collect more tax dollars and go after the billionaires. There's only about 1,200 billionaires in the United States. You don't need 87,000 agents to go after 1,200 people. That's utterly absurd. Okay. You know, you're almost talking 80 agents per billionaire, not even realistic numbers. So it begs the question, why are they actually funding 87,000 new agents? And John is on the mark. It's the private army that they've always wanted to persecute their political opponents. But why are these agents armed? If you look at the job ads for the IRS, which have made the rounds in the news media, why are the agents armed? Because the real purpose is to take guns away. They've realized now that the local sheriffs are not going to help the feds. With the proliferation of the Second Amendment Protection Acts, Preservation Acts around the United States, Missouri has the strongest one. They've realized now that the Missouri sheriffs and the people are not going to tolerate gun confiscation. They're not going to get involved. The sheriffs know that once the word gets out that they're involved with gun confiscation, they're going to be wiped off the planet by armed citizens. The sheriffs understand this. But the liberal Democrats in Washington, D.C., that are so disconnected from average America, they think, okay, well, if we can't get the sheriffs to implement our gun control and our red flag laws and all of these other things, then we're going to have a private federal army to do it. The reason why the agents are armed isn't to come get your money. It's to use your money as a pretense to come and take your weapons. Because once they get a search warrant, right, they can take all weapons, right? They don't need permission. Once they execute a search warrant, they can take all your guns and make them disappear, just like St. Louis City Police does when they confiscate a gun from someone, whether it's legally owned or not. The guns disappear. They get lost in the system. They get tied up in court. This is how they operate, under pretense. And the armed agents aren't there to get your money. The armed agents are there to use money as a pretense to come disarm the American people.
Well said, Sam. People need to be aware of these issues. They need to educate themselves about these issues. And of course, what you do at Freedom Center USA is to train men and women who themselves can become trainers as part of your mission statement. And I certainly support that and agree with it. So when a man or woman signs up for a tactical class, they learn skills they can take back to their home community in any of the 50 states or foreign country they may come from and teach others the same skills, can't they, sir?
Absolutely right. If you get through five courses at the Freedom Center, you are more qualified to teach firearm skills than any standard Army or standard Marine that hasn't had tier one level training. You're way more qualified to teach skills, firearm skills, and fighting skills than they are. And that's because we do things differently. We actually teach the techniques that and tactics that the SEAL teams use, the CAG operators use. And if you go to the SIG Arms Training Academy or Gunsight or any of these other places, all of these, the more skilled instructors there that have knowledge, they're not giving you that knowledge. They're putting you on the firing line, running you through basic drills, because they have a personal belief system that says, we don't give away top-level tactics, techniques, and procedures, what they call TTPs. We don't give that away. And I remind the guys that say that to me, you're not a nuclear power plant on a Navy ship, okay? Every individual has a God-given right to this knowledge. You have no right to keep this knowledge to yourself. And I tell them that. And, you know, they don't believe what I say. But at the Freedom Center, we believe what I say. If you're not willing to transfer the highest skills of combat, you don't get to train at my facility. You're not a teacher or an instructor at my facility. If you're not willing to say a police officer's life is worth just as much as a SEAL team operator, a civilian mom's life is worth just as much as a SEAL team operator. They deserve to have the same skills and knowledge with their firearms, with their small arms, as any SEAL team or CAG operator or ACE operator or National Mission Asset Team operator. If you don't believe that, you don't get to teach at my facility.
And I just want to punch in here real quick, John and Sam. Folks, you're listening to Sam Andrews, Freedom Center USA. Freedomtrain.net is the new website. The reason, one of the other reasons, Sam nailed it, John nailed it, and I like to think I nailed it. We're talking about solutions here. One of the reasons I asked Sam to come on along with John is because we need to have these solutions and deploy these solutions, okay? If you are, and I'm excited to be on the solution side of things. Now, I may not be talking, well, I know I'm not talking to everyone, but we're on the cusp of announcing a relationship between the Freedom Center and the Hagman Report. There's a Hagman Special Handgun and Rifle Training with Sam Andrews, as you see on your screen. If you go to hagmanreport.com/training, you'll be able to get more information about it. But I just want to let people know, now is the time when there's some relative quiet. We don't know if it's going to be quiet next week or next month or next year. I don't know. But we all need to make sure that we can take care of ourselves. We can take care of our families and of our homesteads. And this is something that I'm very proud to offer, along with Sam, and of course, in concert with John Moore, thelibertyman.com. So
well, I want to provide some motivation here. It'd be mostly for the men, maybe some women. When I showed up for my first precision rifle class, I'd been shooting rifles, shotguns, pistols since Eisenhower was president. Fired expert, U.S. Army, the M16, marksman with the M14 under very harsh conditions. I shot combat pistol competition. I shot high-powered rifle competition. And I've been NRA-certified firearms instructor, rifle, shotgun, pistol since 1991. That was John Moore walking in the door that first morning. By noon, ladies and gentlemen, I found out I did not know how to hold a rifle. I did not know how to shoot a rifle. I did not know how to clean a rifle. I did not know how to even put it properly in the safe. That was the lack of knowledge I had with, and I assure almost everybody listening did not have the experience that I had that first morning, walking in the door. By noon the next day, I was shooting moving targets. I emphasized moving targets, 12 by 18 inches, I believe, at 600 yards. Now, what I'm doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is attempting to motivate you to get you out of your comfort zone. You men who are veterans, you men who've been deer hunters for 8, 10, 20, 40 years, you think you have some skills? I'm here to tell you, you don't. You may think you do, but if you want to hit a 12-inch steel plate at 1,000 yards, which I can, and I can do it consistently, you need to sign up for the precision rifle class at Freedom Center USA. If you want to learn tactical knowledge that will keep you alive in a gunfight, you need to sign up for that class at Freedom Center USA. That is not optional. Don't think you can scoot by with your 10, 20, 50 years of experience of doing the wrong things in the wrong way. You probably don't even know how to properly clean your rifle or your pistol. And that's my little motivation speech here, ladies and gentlemen, to hopefully get you to please consider signing up for the training that you need to get the skills you need to stay alive in a gunfight. End of speech.
And I haven't even talked to Eric about this or anyone about this, Sam or John, but I want to just say this, the Hagman Report, I've been considering how to use scholarships for people who are serious about this. Okay. So more on that in the days ahead. Okay. Because I believe our country is going to, frankly, our country is only going to survive by those who have the will, desire, and frankly, the capability of bringing it back. Go ahead. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, Doug and John, thank you for that. But we don't teach conventional firearms wisdom. And I say wisdom in quotes, right? Conventional wisdom is not wisdom when it comes to fighting with a weapon. Okay. The tier one guys, the Secret Service, SEAL Team 6, SEAL Team 5, other national mission team assets managed by JSOC, those are the guys that have developed skills in warfare that are unconventional, uncommon. They're not the conventional wisdom. They're what actually works. And you want to be trained in what actually works in a fight. You don't want to be trained in the conventional firearm wisdom, the NRA, blah, 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 you know, the SIG arms, these other schools that train people with conventional techniques. This is not how we fight and win with weapons. You want to be trained in the stuff that actually works, that keeps you alive and allows you to shoot, move, and communicate just like a Navy SEAL Team 6 operator does. And what you see them do on the SEAL movies on TV is not how they actually fight. They deliberately don't show the techniques that they actually use in fights because they don't want to give away, once again, tactics, techniques, and procedures. Okay. But if you want to live in a fight, you're going to want to learn the techniques they actually use, not the stuff they show on TV. And that's what we teach you. We teach you the real stuff. And please don't think, oh, well, I'm not a young, strong Navy SEAL level fitness warrior, so this doesn't really apply to me. No, you could do more good than the young guy who says, I want to go train, because you could sponsor two or three people in your family. If you have a grandson or a son that's healthy and that's strong and that's physically capable, you can motivate him. If you don't have any money to sponsor someone, you can call your friends. You can put the Freedom Center website, send that out to hundreds of your friends. You can do a lot of good. You might even do more good than the one guy that decides to come train. If you can sponsor a couple people, or you can broadcast the website out and get young, healthy Americans to come train here. And I love Doug's idea of sponsorship. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I think that it's about time we get America trained up. And I don't mean the guy that kills a deer every year with his 30-06. That's not what we're talking about here. Our courses start at the basic tactical level. Then they go to what we call the enhanced tactical level, where you're learning how to communicate, you're learning how to shoot through auto glass from inside a vehicle shooting through auto glass. Okay, you're learning how to collimate your red dot.
And that's not how that's not as easy as it sounds, believe me. Go ahead.
No, there are specific techniques. There's things you need to know because it's not intuitive. And you can go from that basic to the enhanced to the advanced marksmanship course to advanced one, advanced two, advanced three, advanced four. The advanced four course prepares you for night fighting. And then it culminates in a night combat course where you learn to fight with thermal drones, thermal sights on your weapon systems. You're shooting, moving, and communicating with comm systems at night. And there's no other training like it in the world for a civilian or a law enforcement officer. It's far beyond what a SWAT team member gets. We had a state police SWAT team sniper come to our training last year. And he told me he thinks he should probably start in the advanced course because of his SWAT training. And I told him, no, we don't start anybody in the advanced course. We start you in the basic course because you're going to learn at least 20 things you didn't know in the basic course that you're going to need to move on. And he argued with me. And I said, well, come to the course. If you don't learn anything new in the first day, I'll give you your money back and I'll give you an extra $200. And he said, okay, I'll come to the basic course. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, an hour into our safety brief, he was bored out of his mind. And by 11:30 the same morning, he was shifting around in his seat and visibly angry. And I called on him. I said, Brian, is there something wrong? You look bothered by something. And his comment, the exact words that came out of his mouth were, why the F did I not learn this stuff in SWAT school? What a difference 2 hours can make. And that's common with most experienced shooters. They spend the first hour acting bored. And by 1:30 in the afternoon, they're wondering if they can keep up. And the level of training is unprecedented anywhere in the world. And it is a life-changing experience to come and train with us. It will change you forever. And you don't have to take my word for it. Call me. If you want references, I'll give you 50 phone numbers you can call and get students' opinions. And we've trained people from 44 different states, from 17 different countries now. And it is truly a life-changing experience. I had a German doctor call me last week. And he just said, I want to thank you for the course. It is affecting my life in so many ways. He said, my son got upset about something the other day. And I said to him, stop emoting, you're living in the past. And usually he talks back to me when I correct him. And he froze. And he didn't say anything. You could see him contemplating what I said to him. And then I started laughing because I realized that what I had just said to him, I actually learned at the Freedom Center. And that's just one of 30 examples in the last 2 weeks where what you have trained us in has had a profound positive effect on me and my family. And I hear that stuff all the time, and it's all true because it does have a profound effect on your life to come and train at this level. If you've never been in a structured environment, it's a little bit of a shock for you on day one, but day two, three, and four, your foot on the gas, full speed ahead, developing skills that you never thought you could develop.
Let me toss this question out there. Undoubtedly, there are going to be people hearing this and saying, what? You're preparing to take up arms against our government? Undoubtedly. I'm going to get emails saying, is that what you're doing? You're preparing an army to go against our government to raid Washington, D.C., to take out our government officials?
Not
true. You want to address that? Because if that's you right now starting to type that email, stop, because I'm going to delete it. Go ahead, Sam.
Yeah, that would be a total lie. Our training basically teaches people how to defend their own life in an unsecure environment. Okay. We don't teach people to be aggressive. We have specific direction that we give our students about the use of lethal force and the use of force in general. And one of our axioms is you are never, ever, ever, ever the primary aggressor. It is inappropriate, immoral for you to be the primary aggressor. But if you are attacked, this is how you respond and live. Okay. And, you know, we don't have to pretend like it's the government. I mean, look at all of the people in South Africa that have been through violence in the last four decades, that if they had the skills that we taught at the Freedom Center, they would still be alive today. It's saddening to think about, but it's true. We are teaching people to defend their life, their liberty, and their property because we know from Ferguson, Missouri, that the government will not. The Department of Justice ordered the police to stand down and not arrest rioters, arsonists, and looters. Why? Because the only thing they wanted them defending were government buildings and banks. And if you didn't learn the lessons of Ferguson, I'm not sure where you've been in the last 10 years, but you should have been paying attention. Because what we know for certain is that Valerie Jarrett sent one of her DOJ cronies into the Unified Command meeting and ordered them not to arrest arsonists or looters or protesters. Now, there was some objection to that. What a lot of people don't know about Ferguson is the Department of Justice ordered the FBI to shoot my men that were on the rooftops guarding people sleeping in apartments. Criminal cabal are the two words that apply. They were supposed to shoot my men and make it look like the new Black Panther Party started a race war with the patriots that were on the rooftops protecting Black and Asian people that were being labeled racist by the national media. That's the truth about Ferguson. But the lesson to be learned is the federal government, the local police, will be nowhere to be found when massive violence breaks out in your community. They will be at home protecting their families, or they will be guarding banks or government buildings. They will not be protecting you. You don't know this. Your false belief system is going to get you killed.
John, your thoughts?
Well, while Sam was in Ferguson, I was doing live interviews with Sam. Two men who lived there with their families. And at least the first set of riots with Command Sergeant Major Dan Page. During the day, the protesters were going door to door, and I got a firsthand report, handing out the communist newspaper. When nightfall came, they would gather into the downtown area, begin their rioting that they were recruited and paid and equipped to do, by the way. And Sam, I want some feedback on this. I understand that much of the time, the rioters began getting active, yelling and screaming and throwing things when the TV cameras were turned on at night, and then basically stopped most of that when the TV cameras were turned off. There may have been some exceptions, but did you observe some of that activity, sir?
I did not. I saw basically after dark strategy. Once it got dark, then the violence began. And it didn't really matter in the areas that I was in overwatch over, didn't really matter if the cameras were rolling or not. What I did see was FBI agents get out of their car, dressed as street hoods with water bottles stuffed into their hoodies. And they would walk down to the back of the protest in front of the firehouse and police station. These FBI agents would lob water bottles at the local police. And then the police would run out and beat down and arrest the people that they wanted to arrest. I did see that with my own eyes. I saw some protesters park north of Vo's Chinese restaurant. I watched them build Molotov cocktails while they were walking down Florissant Avenue. And so we saw a lot of things in Ferguson.
Another aspect, my friend Command Sergeant Major Page was in the headquarters there in Ferguson, and he personally observed that the governor of Missouri was taking direct orders from the White House as to what are not to.
Everybody was.
Yes. And then there was a St. Louis County police captain, I believe, in charge of things on the ground. And then they brought in a black highway patrol captain who whose nickname became Hugathon, because initially when he met with the St. Louis County police, and he was, keep in mind, he was a highway patrol, he told the men, the St. Louis County police officers, that they were going to go on duty in the street without their ballistic armor, without their ballistic helmets.
Insanity.
And he almost had a second riot. That would have been the police rioting against him. He quickly changed that order to make sure that he didn't get in trouble with the men who were supposed to be helping maintain order.
Well, you can read Tom Jackson's book about Ferguson. He was the chief of police at the time. But you had a guy named John Belmer, who was the chief of St. Louis County Police.
Right.
He was in charge of handling things until the White House convinced the Democrat Governor Nixon to give tactical command to Mr. Hugathug, right? Now, Tim Tanner was the St. Louis County police officer that had tactical command the nights that we were there. Hugathug was gone by then, by the time that all the burning happened. They had removed him because of all of the protests of the law enforcement people. But there were good law enforcement people there trying to protect the community. Belmer tried standing up against the Valerie Jarrett and the White House and the Department of Justice, and they threatened him. They said, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to federalize your police force and you're out of here. That's the threat they gave to John Belmer. Now, Belmer's response when he was ordered not to use tear gas or perform normal crowd control operations, Belmer's response was, I'm going to do what I have to do to keep the people safe. Now, I'm not a huge fan of John Belmer, but he was one of the only people there in unified command actually standing up to these crooked feds. And for that, he deserves credit. And now he did some other things after they put a lot of pressure on him that weren't very moral or weren't legal. But to his credit, he fought the dirtbags as far as he thought he could get away with.
And to what you're saying, if you don't mind, because people I'm trying to keep it together here. Okay. Eric, the tech, if you would research Ferguson riots, what you get from the search page on Google, not on, just Google, is a page of, you get that. I should take a look at the method there. About the first of all, it's not Ferguson riots, it's Ferguson unrest. But what was the method of the reaction by the rioters, by the people who were hurting others? Method: peaceful protests. And I want you to take a look at the dates too. Okay, August 9th through the 14th. So, number one, you're being lied to.
There's a year there. 2014 to 2015, okay. Multiple events.
I'm sorry. So let me ask a question. Brown was shot by a police officer, I think, on the 8th, right? The day before the 9th. So I think it was on the 8th. How quickly did things devolve, go from normal, in quotes?
Well, I got some firsthand information.
Go ahead.
Once again, my friend, Command Sergeant Major Dan Page, has friends in the St. Louis County Police Intelligence Office there. Within hours, and we're talking within 2 to 3 hours of Michael Brown being shot, convoys of men and women recruited, trained, and equipped and paid for by George Soros were leaving Chicago and Detroit en route to St. Louis. Now, you can't get the Marine Corps to respond that quickly. The 82nd Airborne can't be on airplanes that fast. It takes them 24 hours. I watched them do it.
Yeah, that's
a level of organization and training and logistics that exceeds what the Marine Corps and the 82nd Airborne can do, because I've seen these people at work. When they get their order, when I was at Fort Bragg, they got their order to go to Biafra in Africa. It took them 24 hours to get everything loaded up, get it to Pope Air Force Base, and get on the planes. Not 3 hours. Now, gentlemen, that's a level of organization training, logistics that exceeds what the 82nd Airborne can do. And I'm impressed. I have to admit, I'm impressed that they could do that. But that's exactly what happened.
Well, let me put a different spin on that. You know, I was on the rooftops for 3 weeks. I was on a third-story building, the highest building in the area, in an overwatch position. And I could see the big picture of everything going on South Florissant Road. And what I saw for three straight weeks were these protesters changing their tactics and it taking 30 to 45 minutes for the police to respond. And then the police would change their tactics and the protesters would respond in 30 to 45 seconds. They literally, because of their communication and training and the way that they work together and their flat hierarchy, their flat structure, they responded in about 1/60th the time to the move of the other side. So
you're right, Sam. And we need to remind our listeners that Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the Soros trained, equipped people, have not gone away. They're still being paid a monthly stipend. I doubt that it's very much. They're still trained. They're still equipped. They still have their chain of command waiting to be activated whenever George Soros or his people give the word.
I want to just interject this. John, to what you said this weekend, again, I got information, intelligence information. Seriously, this is what's going on in the unclassified for official use only papers that BLM Antifa have actually increased their ranks by 25% over the last 12 months. Just saying, go ahead, Sam.
Absolutely. They have a better recruiting program than our Department of Defense right now. It's unbelievable what they're capable of doing. And there's an easy way to solve that. Probably not going to talk about it on air, but there's an easy way to shut those people down. And, Liberia, other places, you know, there are proven techniques to deal with that kind of stuff. But it's something that the United States citizens, the citizens of our 50 states, what they need to realize is how incredibly important it is to understand that we are really at war, that there is this covert war being waged against you, your family, and your business. And it's serious. It's just as serious as a shooting war. The Chinese don't have to invade the United States. They've already bought our politicians. They've already taken over our elections. They already have control. The Republic is gone. The only question is, when are we going to take it back? When are people going to lose their cowardice, grow a spine, and start to stand up to criminals in the FBI that protect the Chinese politicians, the people that are in bed with the Chinese, that are protecting the power base of the globalists? When are we going to defund and get rid of the FBI? When are we going to defund and get rid of the IRS and place things in their place that actually work for the American people and in the American people's interest? When are we going to do this? How bad will it have to get before we stand up? And it's not bad enough yet, apparently. Apparently, people are perfectly happy. I mean, the average American isn't even smart enough to recognize blatant tyranny. They can't recognize tyranny when they tell you to cover your face, just like the fascist Muslims. They can't recognize tyranny when they order you to stay in your home. They don't recognize as tyranny forced medical procedures. Take the clot shot. No, take three of them. My people perish because of their lack of knowledge.
John.
Well, I believe the best thing we can do today with our limited time is to advise people they need to educate themselves and get trained up and get equipped for what's coming. I don't know that it's inevitable, but One of the things we do in planning for any conflict, we don't try to determine what the enemy will do. We determine what the enemy can do. So we have to base our training, our equipment, our tactics on what the enemy can do, not what on the enemy will do. And they're desperate. I see where a lot of hope that we are on a winning side here in a number of areas. And that puts what I call our enemy, the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims, that puts them in a situation where they're desperate. And desperate men do desperate things. I don't know what desperate thing they're going to pull off, but just be ready. They may shut down the power grid. They may make the inflation go out of control crazy. They're shutting down the economy. The threat of actual invasion by the communist Chinese is not off the table. It's a possibility. The more people get prepared, the better off they're going to be.
You know, John, when you said the limited time we have, we've got about roughly 9 minutes left. It blows my mind that how quickly time goes. I had three goals today in mind. Number one, to introduce our audience to the Liberty Man, his broadcast, John Moore's broadcast with Sam Andrews every Monday, to give you a taste of this is not necessarily the conversation that goes on, but this is the sharpness that exists at thelibertyman.com with Sam Andrews and John Moore every Monday. And of course, every day with John's program. That's number one. Number two, the fact that, you know, look, yes, we can talk about the problems, but we need to talk about the solutions. Freedom Center solutions, John backing this and Sam, of course, superintending this. But the third thing would be this platform somehow, some way. And again, it's not ready for prime time yet. It will be shortly, offering scholarships for people to go to Freedom Center USA, take the courses, and just check in at HagmanReport.com/training just for an overview, and you'll be hearing more about that. So we've got about 4 minutes left of peace.
I want to be a safety officer when Doug takes his class.
No, you don't. I muzzle everybody. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No. I'm going to be there in my with my jitterbug phone in one hand. Okay. And I'm going to be on my hover round, or what are those things, little rascals? I'm kidding, of course, but I wouldn't have it any other way, John.
Okay.
Wouldn't have it any other way than you'd be there.
Let me know when you're going to be at Freedom Center, so at least we can have lunch. And I promise not to make fun of you on the range, John.
Oh, and you know, I promise there will be a lot to make fun of. No,
Doug, if you can schedule your surgery for the 8th and 9th time frame, you could send Eric down here and get him in that basic tactical class in September.
You know, there are a lot of things I'm working around, and unfortunately, I'm at the mercy of a couple of there's two surgeons that have to do this, so I'm kind of at the mercy of them. So, but yeah, you know what? That's a thought.
It's worth asking the question, calling the doc up and say, hey, what about the 8th or the 9th?
There you go. Yeah. Or I can come down a couple of days later. I won't be able to talk, but I'll be able to. Never mind.
Well, in class, you're only allowed to say, I don't understand, or Roger that, I do understand. Right. And then execute what you've been given to do. So you don't have to talk a lot in our classes. And we can even use hand signals if you're not comfortable chatting.
No, I got a hand signal for everybody. Okay. All right. But John Moore, thelibertyman.com, guest on Monday. I want to thank you, John, for being so gracious and allowing Sam to be on with you, share your time. And you know, John, you were always talking about solutions. You have a lot of knowledge about what's going on. You have a lot of foresight. Your intelligence is right on the money. So I think it's about time we collectively, individually and collectively, do something. So, John, I'm going to turn it over to you, and then we'll finish with Sam, and then we'll say goodnight.
Yeah, give people a nugget of something that may help here. A friend of mine who lived in Ferguson during the riots, close enough to hear the rioters, he's a Marine veteran, and he collects Mauser bolt-action rifles, 100-year-old World War I Mauser bolt-action rifles. He distributed six of them to nearby neighbors and trained them in the proper and safe use of those Mauser bolt-action rifles so that these men could split the 168-hour-a-week watch between them, and they could get some sleep. Luckily, they did not need that training, but they were ready to defend the neighborhood if it came up. And they were black and white neighbors, by the way. So in a crisis, you do what you got to do. They all knew each other because of neighborhood barbecues, and they were friends. And when it came time to defend the family homes, they did so. And I want to throw that out so people may consider that for their own neighborhoods if and when things get that bad.
Very well stated. Hagman Report's own Ricardo Montalban. That's John Moore.
Hey, I'm a single guy. I got to look the part, right?
There you go. There you go. Sam, in closing, your thoughts.
Well, the wisest thing I've probably heard outside of scripture being read to me out loud is when Major General Hollingsworth, 2-star in the Marine Corps, said to me, "Amateur study tactics, professional study logistics." And when I asked him, "What does that mean?" He very quickly said, "It's pretty simple, young man." He goes, "It means the first person to run out of food, water, or ammo loses." Now, John Moore selling freeze dryers for food. That's a huge thing logistically, to have a freeze dryer and have freeze dried food set aside. Amen. Why is it? Because you can travel with freeze dried food. You can carry a lot of freeze dried food. And because you don't need electricity in a grid down situation to maintain your food stores. So you go to Liberty Man, that website,
yep,
get yourself a freeze dryer. And if you're a direct action guy, okay, I want you to read this book, Margin of Victory, 5 Battles That Changed the Face of Modern War. Read that book. Pay particular attention to the Battle of Shanghai, because there was one group that decided to triple the size of their army. Well, let's say like add 87,000 new Japanese warriors. I don't know. Pick a number. Pick a country. Doesn't matter. The principle still stands. They decided to triple the numbers. The other side decided to not grow the size of their army, but invest in better weapons technology. And the way it turned out on the streets of Shanghai is the group that made the decision to triple the size of their army left 3 times as many bodies dead in the streets of Shanghai. The group that decided to improve their weapons technology dominated. The reason I say that is because I want you to get your thermal sight, to get you a thermal drone, and to get trained and learn how to use modern nighttime warfare technology. It's not as hard as you think. And you come train at the Freedom Center, we're going to train you in modern technology and how to defend your life, your liberty, and your property.
Couldn't have said that any better. And that sums it up. And again, folks, the 3 reasons, you heard them. And I'm working on, again, I'm working on assisting others and attending in obviously in my stead, but Eric the Tech, I'm sure, will be down there as well. But we need to focus on solutions and preparation. John, the freeze dryers, a fantastic idea. I mean,
it is.
In fact, Eric the Tech and I were talking about that. And all of a sudden that pops up. I think last week you had mentioned that, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, not only are we thinking on the same page, but he beat us to the punch. So that's a great job on that. And folks, go to thelibertyman.com, bookmark that website, please. And listen to Sam and John, listen to their show today, but their previous shows as well. You're going to get a lot out of it. Sam is a very great. Very well respected man. Gentlemen, both of you, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Sam Andrews from Freedom Center USA, but Freedom freedomtrain.net, hagman.com/training, and of course, John's website, thelibertyman.com. Great, two great gentlemen. All right. With that, may God bless. Have a great night.